Welcome to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP, the federal leader in retirement planning seminars. Join NITP this morning for an hour of plain talk on planning your future. You've got questions, they've got answers.
Good morning and welcome to For Your Benefit. We're here this morning to discuss Social Security with the very shy Lester Austin. Good morning, Lester.
Good morning. It's great to be here again, joining you here at 1500 AM, Federal News Radio.
All righty. If I'm looking at Lester's card last year and it says Public Affairs Specialist, it probably says Director, Social Security now?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Okay, next year maybe. And John Elliott, Federal Benefit Specialist, retired Fed, retired seminar presenter, but still knows the stuff. Good morning, John.
Good morning, although I haven't been a specialist for 20-some years.
I don't think they take that away from you, do they?
Yes, they do. I take it away from myself.
Okay.
Yes, so they
do. An elective takeaway. All righty, Lester, let's have at it. Let's start with the real basics. What's a credit? I mean, and what's a credit got to do with Social Security to begin with?
Well, long ago, what they used to call it was a quarter, and you can only earn four quarters a year. And as generations change, we change the terminology from quarter to credit to periods. But they're one all the same. They're one all in the same.
Okay. Does it take a certain amount of money to well, I grew up, a quarter was a quarter, not 25 cents. It was 3 months. But now a quarter, you can get four quarters in one day, as I understand it. Correct me if I'm wrong, if you make an awful lot in one day.
Right.
Now, how much is a quarter of earnings?
Let me do this real quick and just show persons how a quarter was earned and how they are earned. Prior to 1978, you had to earn at least $50 in order to be entitled to a quarter. Prior to 1978, the law stated that you had to earn a minimum of $50 in each quarter in order to be entitled to a quarter of coverage. Therefore, if you worked the first day and you earned $5,000 in the first quarter and worked at no other time during the course of the year under Social Security covered employment, for that year, 1975, for an example, you only earned one quarter of coverage. Effective in 1978, the law stated that the amount necessary to earn a quarter of coverage had escalated from $50 to $250. Also effective in 1978, the law stipulated, and it said that once a person had earned $1,000, whether it was the first day, the first week, the first month, the last week, the last day, but once they had earned $1,000, they would be entitled to four quarters of coverage. Since 1978, the amount necessary to earn a quarter of coverage has escalated, where effective January 1 of this year, quarter of coverage costs you $1,130. So $1,130 is what a quarter costs you this year. In order to earn a four quarters this year, person must earn a minimum of $4,520. So if they go out and earn that all in one day, they've earned their four quarters for the year.
Okay. Could I ask you maybe, this is more a CSRS question because, of course, during their federal career, they wouldn't have Social Security. They'd have Medicare withheld. But they may have worked high school. They may have worked part-time jobs after high school. They may have gone to college and they worked. How would one know, unless they kept track, that they have any quarters from those years ago, because they know that they didn't once they became CSRS? Is there a website to go to? Is there a besides you, is there a person to call?
Well, what that person can do, what we have been doing is sending out the statements. We send out the statement once a year, 3 months before a person's birthday. And when the budget had to be cut by the federal government across the board, I think that was $38.5 billion, it hit Social Security as well. We sent out 155 million of those statements a year, and it cost us approximately $70 million to do that. So we discontinued sending out that statement, but we have now resumed sending the statement out. So a person could look at that statement being 60 years of age and older and not receiving Social Security, and they can see their earnings. Okay. Now, what we're also working on is Social Security, and it should be there by the end of the year, where and we must protect the privacy. Since 1935, that's been our thing, is to make sure that your information is private and safe. So we're still tweaking that. We're still working on it, where a person will be able later to go online and get that information.
But right now, the paper statements are back in the mail.
being 60 years of age and older, we are sending that out. And a person could take that statement. And then what we have is calculators. We got calculator number 1, 2, and 3. And I always say calculator number 2 is so easy because all you do is take the information from the statements and plug it in, and you can do what-if scenarios. What if I work longer? What if I stop work? What if I only earn this amount? The closer you are to retirement, the more reliable that amount is, because it's taken into consideration those earnings from now until retirement once you have given us that amount.
Yeah. Okay, good. Because I'm glad you said that, because I thought they were going online, and I understand now why they don't until they get the bugs worked out. But yeah, because the other fact, this weekend I was looking in preparation for this show. I was looking for my statement online because I didn't get it last November as right. I normally would. But well, I couldn't find it, and then there's a reason for that. It's not there.
It's not there yet. And
but like next November, I will get a statement in the mail.
Yes.
Okay.
And well, and not receiving Social Security, being 60 years of age and not receiving Social Security. So I know you're not there yet, but you will be able to go online, and you'll be able to see what you have done over your working lifetime. And when we calculate that benefit, as you indicated earlier, Bob, when a person's back in high school and college, what we do is index those earnings to bring them up to current day value to pay a person more back than what they have actually put in.
Okay. So, in other words, what I was getting at, sometimes CSRS would say, no, I'm not qualified. And I go, well, you know, way back when, you may have more coverage than you think. Not that they're going to go to work only to get the quarters after they retire, but they might work anyway. This would be a nice supplement, and I'm ignoring some offset issues.
Well, I'm the example you're citing.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I'm a CSRS retirement. I had about 25 credits before I joined the federal government. Then I worked for federal government for 30 years, and then I retired. And then I, as you know, worked for NITP and still am. And, but I earned my 40th credit about 4 years ago, so I will get a Social Security benefit. I haven't applied for it yet because, happily, I don't need the money. But I just turned 66 a month ago, and therefore I'm at my full retirement age, Social Security retirement age, because I was born between 43 and 1954. So for those people, your full retirement age is 66. So I could collect now if I chose to. I could go online, or I could go to a near Social Security office. And I would probably do it online, as Lester suggests. And I could get 100% of my Social Security benefit. But because I have, I don't know how many, I have less than 20 years of substantial Social Security service as we speak, I will get hit by the windfall elimination provision, the full effect of it.
Is that called the WEP?
It's called the WEP. And in my case, because I have less than 21 years, unless Lester wants to go through the formula, I could, but as well, because this impacts me. But I'll get maybe approximately half of what I would have gotten if there were no such thing as the WEP.
Well, what a lot of folks say, being the CRSers, this does not, those under civil service retirement systems are affected by this law. Those individuals that are under the federal employee retirement system are not, because they pay in the Social Security, civil service, and a thrift savings plan. So those individuals that are under the old CRS system, they're affected by what is called the windfall elimination provision of the law. Right. That became effective January 1, 1986. And what that provision states, in order to be exempt from it, you must have first turned 62 before 1986. So I know you didn't meet that.
Didn't do
the
that.
The second one was that you must have been eligible to retire before 1986.
Didn't do that.
And the third one is you must have earned 30 years of what is called substantial service under Social Security covered employment.
Right.
And you have indicated that you didn't do that. That's a money amount, and people can see that at www.socialsecurity.gov. At www.socialsecurity.gov, you want to look for that windfall elimination fact sheet. And that will break down specifically what I'm indicating. Yeah. And just because we're on the radio and to keep it short, what you can do, if it's more than $1,000, that you're going to be entitled to, you can take $500 off. If it's less than $1,000, just cut it in half, basically. And that's what you're saying. What happens if you're affected by this windfall elimination provision of law, it only affects you being a civil servant, getting civil service retirement, and you're not under FERS.
Okay, now if I'm under FERS, now let's bring those folks in.
Yeah, no WEP.
Okay.
No WEP.
They're not affected by the WEP, nor are the spouses and the widow or widowers affected by what is called the government pension offset provision. And if your spouse, widow or widower, has worked on their own record for civil service, they're under the OCRS system, not FERS, and they file on your record for a portion of yours, they're going to be affected because we're going to look at two-thirds the amount of the gross amount of their civil service annuity on their own record. We're going to look at the gross amount, we're going to use two-thirds of that, and we're going to offset the widow or the spousal benefits on a dollar-to-dollar basis. So say a person's entitled $1,500 a month gross CRS annuity. Two-thirds of that is going to be $1,000. If they're a widow or widower, they're entitled $1,000, or a spouse is entitled $500. That two-thirds, that $1,000 will offset the Social Security benefit on a dollar-to-dollar basis. So, therefore, they're eligible to zero.
Take my wife.
Henny Youngman.
Yeah. She's a CERS retiree. Even though I will get a windfall affected, I will get a Social Security benefit just when I choose to get it. She, because she's a CERS retiree and she has a very high pension, she will never get, because of the government pension offset, anything based on my Social Security record. She could, if she worked, she's not, she doesn't have any work close to 40 credits, so she'll never get a Social Security benefit on her own record, but she also will not get any spousal or survivor benefit based on my Social Security record because her CSRS pension is too high.
A monthly annuity, she's eligible, but she's going to be entitled to zero. If you pass, she also would be entitled to a one-time payment called the lump sum death payment, and that's a money amount of $255.
Wow.
Okay. Well, it doesn't sound like a lot of money. This is part of the 1977 and the 1982 amendments. When you look in the obituary page when you go home today and you think of how many names are there, along with across this great nation, how many names are in the paper each and every day, we're talking about a lot of money. So this Social Security is a federal insurance program. So some people will get back more than they've ever put into it, and some people will get back nothing. But yet, it's a promise made on August the 14th, 1935, and it's a promise kept. Social Security is over 75 years of age.
I'm almost there, but can I come back? I'm slow. You guys are almost done with the race. I'm back at the gate here. All righty. So I'm a FERS person. I'm back at the gate, and I now hopefully have been enlightened that my high school part-time, my college part-time, my whatever part-time, my job, whatever, before I came to the feds, would count in the total calculation as to my quarters, correct?
That's correct.
All right. So they're not left out in the cold for this old stuff, and certainly on the job, they wouldn't be left out in the cold because it's subject to Social Security. Now, the FERS folks, they can go to the same website and do projections on what their Social Security would be as well, couldn't they?
That's absolutely correct.
They're not left out.
Look, no one's left behind.
Including the offset folks.
That's right. And let me show you. When they go to the website and they begin to deal with our calculators, the calculators will take them into the windfall elimination provision and show how that's calculated. It will take them to the government pension offset. It will take those two situations into consideration with our calculators.
Okay, so we got we got quarters, we got how we qualify, and we got where we can go to do calculations as to what we may or may not get. And we also are at a position where John is raising his hand.
You mentioned offset. We should caution that even CSR offset people, while their spouses won't be affected by the government pension offset, they potentially could still be affected by the WEP because part of their pension was not paying into Social Security. That is their the first tour of duty. So don't now they may reduce or eliminate the effect of the WEP because they came back and were covered by Social Security. Mm-hmm. So this, a lot of those people may hit 30 years of substantial credit, or maybe they hit 28, which means the WEP is not as punishing as if you're somebody like me who has less than 20 years.
John wants me to get very technical here because what he's talking about, we look at what is called Tier 1, Tier 2, and Tier 3. Tier 1 is a 90% tier, and that tier can drop anywhere from 90% down to 45%. 45% is being fully affected by the windfall elimination, whereas the 90% is what is normal. So, in other words, Social Security is about a 42% replacement rate for the average worker over their working lifetime. Looking at the 35 high years of earnings, even though they might have some 0 years there, with us indexing, they're still going to get more back.
Okay. Now we've got this kind of base here. We got an email, actually, from somebody who said, I will soon apply for retirement benefits. Is it safe to apply for benefits online or should I go to my local office? I was also given the opportunity to apply at my local library. But wherever one might apply, we can go to the website? No?
I would encourage the American public to visit Social Security's website at www.socialsecurity.gov. www.socialsecurity.gov. I encourage you to click on it, stick on it, and stroll through it. You can file for retirement benefits online. You can file for disability benefits online. If it's a senior and they want to find out what they have received in benefits, they can make that request online. If they lost their Medicare, they can do it online. After World War II, something happened in America. And what that is, it was a lot of loving going on. The silver tsunami is what was created, 80 million baby boomers. We have 1,300 field offices across America. And if they go into one of our field offices, they have that choice. But I would definitely encourage them to go online at the website and file for retirements. And when they file online, we're pulling that application in the next day.
Okay.
If they go into a field office, they're going to have to take a number, wait and wait and wait.
Okay. Now, you mentioned the stroll. You and I might be able to do that and remember that, but some folks like us may not like the web, may not like going, as good as it may be, they just want to do it with paper and look at somebody's eyes. So they can go to a local Social Security office, but as you indicated, you will not be the first one called.
You can make an appointment ahead of time, can't you?
That's absolutely correct. The American public have choices. They can go into our field office just by walking in. As John has indicated, they can make an appointment. They can make an appointment not only to walk in, but to make an appointment where someone will call them at wherever they want to take the claim from them. Or they can visit our website. So a person really has four choices as to how they want to do business with Social Security, and everything they do with us is free. It's free. So there's no charge to our services.
Okay. Now, to become eligible, we've laid that out. But we need not apply until we hit the age, generally speaking, of 62, correct?
That's when a person is first eligible to file for retirement benefits. And when they elect the benefits before the full retirement age, the benefits are reduced by 0.5% per month. So the full retirement age has escalated from those individuals born 1937 and earlier, full retirement age was 65. For an example, those individuals born between 1943 and 1954, full retirement age is 66. So if they elect to receive benefits at age 62, they will have a 25% reduction in the benefits.
Okay.
But each month you delay, you get a little closer to full retirement benefits at 66.
John is bringing me back out again. So what happens is the benefits are reduced by 0.5% per month for those that like to play with math. The exact reduction is about 0.5% per month for each month that they elect to benefit before their full retirement age. So at age 62 is about a 25% reduction. Age 63 is a little higher, 64 a little higher, 65 a little higher, and 66 full retirement age.
Right.
Okay, so
for those individuals born between 43 and 54.
So for those listening, that's a good tip. You need not get it right away, but this then gets into something else. There's a mid-stop between 65 and 67, then there's another one at 70. But statistically or numerically, without doing any numbers, if one was to wait from 62 to 65, they would enjoy that much greater a benefit. But then the question is, what if I had started at 62 and in theory save the money after paying tax and then use that pot of money when I become 66, then I would start to draw down against that, and the same theory at 65 to 70. Has anybody ever put any stats out there as to how many years it would take or what kind of earning power you'd have to make on that money?
Well, what happens is when a person takes the benefit at age 62, mm-hmm. You say in the first 2 to 3 years, they're usually going to get everything back. When a person takes the benefit at age 62, you just take anywhere from 13 to 15 years approximately to hit what is called the break-even point. But the question is the full retirement age guaranteed? So we used to say come early, stay late. But now there's so much more going on with financial planning. Folks are living longer. When you think of it like this, when Social Security first started, life expectancy was 60 to 65. Now life expectancy is 80 to 85. So you need to make sure that one's house is in order financially, because no one wants to retire to go back to work. No one wants to retire to later on run out of money. So it's very important that you sit down and work the figures out to make sure. And with our benefit calculators, they can do customized situations, different scenarios to make sure that they're making the right decision. And retirement is a personal decision.
Right. And in our seminars, whether it's mid-career or sometimes beginning, but definitely pre-retirement, all this is a succession of moving parts, and I'll give that kudo to Joe Sullender. And the engine really, I think, and although I am not one, is federal benefits. I mean, you got to know your federal benefits first, and then the add-on would be Social Security, distributions from the thrift, and or other savings. But you got to know what makes the wheel spin before you can really check out your final day from work and say, I think I got it. But unless you know it.
You're flying blind.
I think so.
You're right.
And when you look at Social Security, never was this program designed to take over one's total income, but it was a base for a comfortable retirement, along with your retirement from the organization that you work for and your savings and investments. So you look at Social Security, it's only one leg of that three-legged stool. And as we look at life, things have changed. Long ago, folks just had a wheel. Now you need a living will, you need a medical will, you need all kinds of wills just to make sure that you're being taken care of properly.
Okay. Now, let's say I went online and I applied, or I applied not online. Is there a way to check up to see the status of my applications?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
And how do you do that?
When you file online, we're going to give you a password and a PIN. So if a person has to go offline for whatever reason, they can come back, and that will only be unique to that individual. And then later on, they're going to get a number. They're going to get a number where they can go back on. We want them to print that page out, a confirmation number. And we want them to print that page out, and they can go back on and check the status of their application as we process it.
Okay, so we process the application, and we are receiving X dollars in Social Security. And let's say we're below the age where we wouldn't be impacted by having earned income. So earned income is usually something like on a W-2 where Social Security is withheld, or if you're self-employed and you're, quote, earning money from your services and you're paying Social Security on that. And in Lester's outline, it was a very good comment. This individual had rental income. Now, rental income, and unless you're in the business of renting properties, is not earned income and would not impact Social Security.
That's correct. When we talk about earned income, we're talking about an employee-employer situation or a person being self-employed. And this year, for a person under the full retirement age, they can earn $14,640. $14,640. And for every $2 they go over that amount, we want them to reimburse us with $1. In the year in which a person turns their full retirement age, 43 to 54, full retirement age is 66. In that year that the person turned their full retirement age this year, they can earn $38,880. And for every $3 they go over that, we want them to reimburse us for one. At the point that the person turns their full retirement age, they can work and earn as much as they want.
Okay, let me ask you this question. Let's say I'm very anxious about what Congress might do with means testing Social Security. I'm not throwing any rocks here. This is a question. And because of my concern for this, if I was eligible to apply for Social Security, if I did it now, before any means tested may, and I'm not alone the word may, I don't know if it will be, I don't know if it won't be. But if I apply now and they later means test it, am I grandfathered in under the old provision that I wasn't means tested?
We at Social Security can only talk about the current law as it presently is. When you talk about a law and that law becoming a bill and a bill being passed, it's a lot to that. We at Social Security only talk about the current law as it currently stands. So therefore, there are earnings limitations, and again, that's person being an employee or employer or a person being self-employed. Annuities, royalties from the book that they wrote about their divorce, marriage, the rental properties, that does not count towards their earnings test being $14,640. And for every $2 they go over that, being under their full retirement age, and in the year they turn their full retirement age, again, $38,880. And for every $3 they go over that, we want them to reimburse one.
Okay, so whatever age I am, I'm retiring at 62 or older. I don't necessarily have to stay employed to get the next better deal at 65, and I don't have to be necessarily concerned about means testing, if there's going to be any means testing, until there is means testing.
That's correct. And the fact of the matter is, if you decide, let's use John for example. John is retired. John is at home. He's looking at you-know-who every day. So John said, look, I'm going back to work. So all John is going to do is give us a call up and say, look, I know I said I was going to earn this, but I decided to go back to work, and this is what I'm going to earn. So then what we're going to do is, based on his new estimate to us, we're going to cease paying him his benefits. And then later on, when he comes back on, we're going to see that he took a reduced benefit maybe, and we're going to recalculate that, taking into the fact that he did not receive benefits, so many benefits. We'll look at the number of checks that he actually received and increase that benefit at a later date when he come back on.
And I know you're talking about somebody else other named John that isn't in the studio.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's correct.
That's what I thought.
Right, because, yeah, I'd rather look at whomever then go back to work.
So John wasn't a good example.
No, but it was a good example. I mean, for somebody who has not reached their full retirement age and might make enough to totally, because of the earnings test, which you've just been talking about, to wipe out their total Social Security benefit. But as you point out, just to recap, once they reach 66, if that's their full retirement age, and are still working, they can collect their full Social Security benefit with no reductions, and they start paying on a monthly basis that money they withheld because of your previous work. Is that a fair way to put it?
It is, but what folks need to understand also is that at the point, if they're still working and they receive their Social Security, then their Social Security benefit could be taxable for an individual of taxable income, and Internal Revenue Service makes that call. If they got taxable income of $25,000 or greater, being an individual, or $32,000 or greater, being a couple, then their Social Security can be taxable anywhere from 50 to 85%. Their Social Security benefit. And that's what the American people need to know.
I do that in class, and it's a fine line, especially for the FERS folks in retirement planning. They do have control over distributions from IRAs, not necessarily the thrift. They have control over the money coming out, but they can't take some, leave some, like you can with the IRA. And it's extremely, just a little bit of money will pop that from no taxable or very low taxable to 85% taxable. But that's a discussion for another day. But I thank you for bringing it up. Well, let's do this. Let's open up the phones, because I haven't mentioned the phone number only because we wanted to lay the groundwork. We're at 202-465-3080. 202-465-3080. 465-3080. It's March 26th. It's 10:35 a.m. We're on for about another 22 minutes. Do not call us after that time, but you can email us, and we'll talk about that in a while. But let's go to some emails that we got in advance because they saw that you were coming, and they emailed. And we're on that one where there's three of them. And the first one says, didn't Social Security used to allow you to log in with your Social Security number and create a password which brought up your past earnings? And the answer is?
No.
Okay. I recall creating a password a couple of years ago on Social Security's website that allowed me to do this. Of course, now they don't mail statements, but we found out earlier from the man that they're going to start that for people. How old, Lester?
Being 60 years of age and older, when we were sending that out the first time, we were sending out before we suspended it, we were sending out to people 25 years of age and older, not receiving Social Security. So we're looking at bringing it back on, and we've already started that, to send them out for 60 years of age and older, and we're going to drop that age. And then, like I said, later on this year, probably by the conclusion of the year, person would be able to go on and feel safe and secure, because when they visit Social Security's website, that is not Yahoo, that is not Google, nor is that Bing, but that's Social Security's website and search engine, and it's safe and secure. Our encryption, our security is at the highest level possible.
Okay, then that answers the individual's second answer to their question. Now let's go to question number two. My spouse is just a little bit older than I am, age 66, and my spouse did not earn much Social Security during their lifetime. We have already determined that the benefit that I have earned for my spouse is better than the benefit my spouse has earned for themselves. Did that make sense?
Yeah. In other words, his benefit is going to be much more than hers.
Okay. I will turn 62 next month, but I plan to continue working until I hit 70. And I was not planning on starting Social Security until 70. Why? Because get more money. I currently earn so much income, the earnings test would reduce my benefit to zero. Now, the earnings test, I guess they're talking about, is that what
$14,680.
Oh, yes, that one.
40. That one, yeah.
Okay.
It's called the earnings test.
The earnings test. Thank you. All righty. But it's my understanding that if my spouse cannot collect off of my work record until I start collecting. Is that true?
That's correct.
Okay, so the one would have to leave for the other one to be entitled to...
Right. In other words, he would have to file for his spouse to be entitled on his record.
But he's filed, but because he makes so much and because of the earnings test, he's not actually collecting any money because of the earnings test. Does that affect anything?
Now, what happens here is that he can file for benefits, and he's going to be in suspension because his earnings are going to be so great.
Right.
By his spouse being over her full retirement age or older, she could be entitled on his record to that 50% benefit.
And she would get paid.
That's correct.
Okay, that's good. Nice slice and dice, John. Even though the earnings test would reduce my benefit to zero. Oh, we just did that.
Yeah, we just.
Okay. So this is that's a good question, especially that last part. So just let's do that again for the listener. So the individual had applied that would receive the greater Social Security but is not going to get any because of their earned income. And if your earned income goes over a certain amount, you start to lose. But this person was going to make more than that.
He and his spouse are over the full retirement age.
Uh-huh.
So both of them are over the full retirement age. So what he wants to do is put his benefits in suspense. So he doesn't receive a benefit himself. So he's looking forward to receiving what is called delayed retirement credits. The delayed retirement credits are 8% annual increase over the 100% benefit. So he's anticipating 132% benefit at the time that he stopped working at age 70. Now, his wife can receive the benefit, the 50%, but her benefit will not be affected by the delayed retirement credits that he would be awarded.
Could I reverse one thing in there? Let's say that in this case, the spouse was not a full retirement age, 62, 63. And again, the one spouse is continuing to work but not get anything because of the size of their income. Can the spouse that has not reached full retirement age still be eligible for and get any Social Security based on the other spouse's earnings?
The answer to that one is no. Now, if I can add to that scenario and say, maybe the spouse has worked and earned enough credits on their own record, and they're under age 60, their full retirement age, under the full retirement age, then what they could do is go ahead and take that reduced benefit on their own record, and then once they reach their full retirement age, they could, and their spouse's full retirement age, then they could receive a difference in the two benefits if it's more.
Okay, good. All right, I think we slice and dice that one. And the last one of the three, my husband and I have both reached full retirement age for Social Security. Can we both apply for the full 50% spousal benefit off of each other's records in the next few years and then switch to our own records once we have hit 70? Wow. Lester, help.
Now, what happens in that one is you actually have to be receiving a benefit. So, in other words, both spouses are full retirement age. Somebody has to receive a benefit. You can't put both in suspense and receive off of both records, the 50%. No. What you can do is say his is more. So he might want to leave his, in this example, he might want to leave his there to grow with the delayed retirement credits and the additional earnings because he's still working. Then she could go ahead and file for the reduced benefit on her own record. Then later on, once he stops working, then she could be due some an increase in her benefit based on the addition what she would be entitled to on his. But she would be entitled to 50%. Of whatever he was entitled to at his full retirement age. So she would not be subject to the delayed retirement credits additional income as what he would get. Then in death, if he passes, what would happen then is she will be entitled to 100% of whatever he was receiving.
Okay.
Reduced by the amount that she's receiving on her own.
All right. Let me ask you a spinoff question to that. I know in your job, among all the other things you do, you go out and visit the elderly, don't you? And when you meet with these folks, do you come across people that didn't know that they qualified or didn't know how to, and you know, forget going to the web?
Sometimes I have the unfortunate responsibility of advising a person that they could have been entitled to benefits some time ago. A gentleman not too long ago, 72 years of age and still working. He could have been entitled to a Social Security benefit and never knew it. He never filed for Medicare. Medicare has Part A, the hospital insurance that helps pay for inpatient costs in the hospital, inpatient care in a nursing home, skilled nursing facility, home health care, and hospice care. That's free for a person 65 years of age and older, even though full retirement age has gone up, still need to look at filing for Medicare within the 7-month window, 3 months before 65, the month of 65, and 3 months after. There's a lot of misinformation out here, and it's great to come on your show and talk about the issues of Social Security because so many people have misinformation and are not doing the responsible thing.
Well, now we are, thanks to you. And this would go not only for the people listening that might be in that position, which hope they're not, but somebody a lot younger that might be looking at somebody older saying, did you know?
Well, really, it could be a lot of young folks out here that have disabilities. A lot of folks think that Social Security is just for old folks, but that's incorrect information. This is a program for everybody. This is your program. This is your time. While we're here, definitely encourage people to pick up the phone, call 202-465-3080 and ask those tough questions that you have on the back of your mind versus going into the Social Security office. This is for you.
Okay, I got a tough question here. This is an email. And let me try to paraphrase this. I have a health insurance plan with a company, not a federal company. And the person is on the insurance with a spouse. And one of these people have prior federal service but are not retired feds, but he gets into Social Security. And they talk about creditable coverage under Medicare D. So they want to know, can they get that at age 62? Do they get that at age 65?
Medicare is for folks 65 years of age and older and persons that have been receiving disability for 24 consecutive months, 2 years. The Medicare for this individual, they would have to be at least 65 years of age. And if they're 65 years of age and still working, they have the right to file for Part B of Part A of Medicare, which I indicated earlier. That covers inpatient services in the hospital, inpatient services in a skilled nursing facility, home health care, and hospice care. That has no monthly premium if the person being born 1930 or later have 40 quarters of coverage. They can be entitled once they have filed an application. We encourage people to file 3 months in advance. 3 months in advance. The Part B of Medicare, that covers outpatient services at the hospital and certain services rendered in the doctor's office. That has a premium of $99.90 a month, and depending on one's taxable income, it could be much higher. But if a person has that, they could be, they can make that choice. If they're still working, they don't have to file for that. But if they have stopped working, they might want to take a look at filing for that.
Okay, good. I want to come back to this, but we do have a caller. So let's take the call. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Everything's good. How about you?
Okay. I sent an email. I don't know if you get a chance to play it before you hang up. But I'm a retired federal employee under CSRS, and I'm working as a contractor. So as a contractor, you know, they take money out for Social Security. And I hear you talk about, you know, you get your full benefits. That is if you really put in the Social Security at 66. Well, with me being under the CSRS, but Social Security being taken out as a contractor, if I file for Social Security, I know I won't get a whole lot. But will I just get whatever, regardless of the age that I am, or when I'm 66 or more, would I get more?
What will happen with you is that by you still working, we're going to look at the amount of money that you're earning. If you're over the 40, if you're under your full retirement age this year, you can earn $14,640. For every $2 you go over that amount, we want you to reimburse us with one. In the year in which you turn your full retirement age, you can earn $38,880. And for every $3 you go over that amount, we want you to reimburse us with one. But once you turn your full retirement age, see, full retirement age is one thing. Medicare eligibility is 65. If you're born between 1943 and 1954, full retirement age is 66. So you still go ahead and file for the Medicare. Even though you are under the old CRS system, uh-huh, and you're getting a civil service annuity, you're now, as long as you work, you got to pay your federal, state, and Social Security taxes. So by you paying into Social Security, there is a possibility, yes, you can meet the insured status by earning the 40 quarters or more, and you can get a Social Security check.
Okay.
Now, once you get your Social Security check, you're going to be affected by the windfall elimination provision because you're under the old CRS system.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is, yes, you can get a check.
But regardless of, if I'm 66 or more, I won't get, anymore. It'll just be
66.
The same amount regardless of the age after 66 or after.
No, 66, you'll be entitled to 100%. For each year that you continue on working and not receive your Social Security, you're going to get an 8% increase over that amount.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Well, is it possible I could ask you one more question?
Sure.
I have a son that had a stroke in 30 when he was 31. He's working now. With him working, can he still get Social Security disability?
Well, by him working, it depends on what kind of work. Is he in a shelter workshop or
something? No, he's doing IT work.
Okay, so he's being gainfully employed.
Yeah.
The definition for disability on Social Security is this: that a person has a physical or mental condition that prevents them from engaging in any substantial gainful activity. What that means is any kind of work. That work that they used to do or any other work that they could be retrained to do based on their age and their education. And this is a condition which has lasted or which will last 12 months or longer or result in death. So Social Security is not a partial disability, nor is it a temporary disability. But let's say, for an example, he's working right now. And say later on, he becomes totally disabled, unable to work. Right. At that time, he should file for Social Security disability benefits.
But he can't get it while he's working.
Not while he's working, because he's still gainfully employed, despite the fact that he might be disabled. But by him still being gainfully employed, he will not be eligible for, he will not meet that definition.
Okay, and he can't get Medicare either.
Medicare is only afforded once he had been receiving disability for 24 consecutive months. Now, everybody's not going to make it out. And what I mean by that, he might continue on working for a long time, but if he is receiving Social Security disability and stop work, then we can resume his benefits under the Ticket to Work program. And I would encourage you to visit Social Security's website at www.socialsecurity.gov and click on disability and just read that information. Read the information about the Ticket to Work.
Okay.
That's where a person, the Ticket to Work, and that's where a person that is receiving Social Security wants to go from dependence to independence.
And you said Ticket.
Ticket to Work.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
All righty. Let's go back to the question right before the young lady called us. And here's this question again. This individual has a high deductible health care plan coupled with a health savings account. And the issue was, if I understand it right, if I go to the folks at Medicare to establish our Part D, I have to have credible coverage. Is credible coverage with a high deductible health care plan with a health savings account? This is out there. So would that qualify for credible coverage?
I can answer
for Medicare
that.
D.
Once you enroll for Medicare, even Part A, which you want to do because you've paid for it, it's free, and at 65, you can no longer participate in a health savings account, high deductible plan arrangement.
Okay.
So by enrolling for Medicare, you can no longer be in it.
Okay. So then the second part of this person's question is, if not, does this mean that I need to get different coverage so that when I have to switch off the company plan at some time in the future, I don't get hit with the anti-free riding penalty for the on the premium?
Well, you're talking about private sector health benefits? Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know. I mean, we're federal benefits here. But I'm not even sure I understand what that term is. It's not a term that applies to federal health plans. So,
what I would encourage the individual to do is check with their own insurance carrier, their own HMO, to see how Medicare affects the benefit that they have. What some folks might want to do is they have high option policies going into retirement. So with the high option policy and with Medicare, it could be that they have double coverage. So they might want to reduce that high option policy to a low option or a Medicare supplemental policy. As far as the Medicare Modernization Act of 2003, which is the prescription drug plan, if a person has a plan already that's better or equal to what Medicare is offering, then they do not have to file for Part D at this time. But I would encourage them to ascertain a letter from their insurance carrier that say that they have a plan already, because if they come at a later date, there will be a 1% penalty increase for each month that they could have had it and elected not to have a Part D plan.
Okay. Let me ask you another question, Lester. This goes back to something I hit on earlier. If one was, say, 66 and they could get their full Social Security and still work, but if they didn't take it because they would get so much more at 70. Now, 70, you're playing with mortality tables. Again, the classic idea of taking the Social Security. And by the way, folks, Social Security is very tax efficient. Even if you're in the highest situation, you still get 15% tax-free. And in many cases, not all, not taxable at the state level. So tax-wise, it's a pretty nice income. Not pretty nice, very nice income program. So if I have that and I said, okay, I'll take it. I'll pay my tax on a portion of it. And I'm going to save it, and I'm going to invest it very cautiously. And in today's environment, that might be 2-4%. If I'm ultra cautious and maybe not so smart with anything else. And then at 70 and a half, I'm going to start drawing down on my savings account to me equal what I would have gotten if I had waited till 70 and a half. So here's the question, and I know you don't, you know most things, but you probably don't know this. What's the average life expectancy for somebody at 70 and a half in Social Security's eyes? Is it 15 years?
We're saying about 80 to 85.
Okay.
Life expectancy right now. We look at that and we say about 80 to 85. It depends.
Okay. So what I'm getting at is in
so you're talking about another 14 years, possibly.
Yeah. So I'm going to get 14 years of that, and then after that, then maybe it wasn't a good decision to get it at 65 or 66 and try to say. Now, it's a huge maybe. I understand that.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's if the person has a discipline to save the money.
Well, the only thing about this scenario that you give is that a person would have to do one thing. And what that is they would have to live. And this is not guaranteed. So looking at a person's financial situation, they would have to make the best decision.
But, of course, if they go to one of our seminars, they have health presentations and they'll live. So now we got it all. And Andrew has said, we got about a minute and a half, so stop talking, guys, and get on with it. So, Lester, final comments.
I would definitely encourage people to visit Social Security's website at www.socialsecurity.gov. Again, that's www.socialsecurity.gov. You can file online. You can file for disability online. And you can visit our website at any time online. At www.socialsecurity.gov, click on it, stick on it, and stroll through it. A lot of information. And frequently asked questions. Just plug in your question and you'll get your answer.
I'm going to go ask my wife if she knows what the stroll is, and she'll look at me like the dog. Like, what are you talking about? Anyway, Lester knows what it is. John, I know what you know what it is.
I don't know what it is. I've heard that it's a dance, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what kind of a dance it is.
Okay, well, we're going to teach the stroll next week. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be on next week, and enjoy the week, and email us at foryourbenefit@nitpinc.com. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to For Your Benefit, presented by NITP. Please tune in next Monday at 10 a.m. for a topic solely devoted to you, the federal employee. The show can also be heard 24/7 on federalnewsradio.com. Thanks for listening.